Good day from Wall Street. This is Juan Costello, senior analyst with the Wall Street Reporter. And joining us today is Daniel Halyk, CEO of Total Energy Services. The company trades on the Toronto Stock Exchange, and the ticker symbol is TOT. And the company is a growth-oriented energy services company, which is involved in contract drilling services, drilling and production rentals, and natural gas compression equipment fabrication, sales, rental, and service. Thanks for joining us today, Daniel.
Thanks for having me, Juan.
Great. Now, getting right into it, start off by talking about the company's recently quarterly results.
Sure. We released our Q3 2009 results yesterday. What we saw, we're primarily a Canadian, Western Canadian-focused company, and as your listeners may know, it's been a fairly challenging market in the energy services business in Western Canada. That said, we did come through the quarter with profitable results and achieved those results without working our equipment base too hard. People may know, we have what's called breakup during the second quarter, which is when the northern parts of Canada are difficult to operate in due to the spring thaw and the road conditions being unfavorable to moving equipment. So you've got to wait for things to dry out. And coming out of very difficult second quarter, we witnessed a fair amount of price competition and not a lot of activity, which resulted in a fairly challenging environment. But again, we came out of it generating substantial cash flow and positive net earnings.
Well, great. So, yeah, what have been some of your specific methods of overcoming some of those challenges and as a result, have positive revenue?
Well, we've seen a challenging 18 months in the oil patch in Canada. So we've been readjusting our cost structure for some time now, realigning our cost structure to the current industry environment. So certainly a reduced cost structure generally. As well, we run a fairly efficient operation, and we were able to generate a profit notwithstanding working our equipment at pretty low utilization rates. Our concern coming out of the second quarter into the third was there was some fairly aggressive pricing. We weren't prepared to work at that price, so we simply decided to stand on the sidelines and wait for pricing to recover, which it has at this point, to a point that we're comfortable working our equipment. One of the reasons we were able to stand on the sidelines and watch was our financial strength. Our balance sheet is in very good shape and allows us to stand back and watch as opposed to work for no profit.
So how is the how well positioned do you believe the company is now to take advantage of some of the market trends?
Well, our balance sheet has never been stronger. We're sitting on net debt of September 30th of just over $6 million. We have considerable room to add leverage to our balance sheet, and we have considerable room on our existing credit facilities as at today, well north of $20 million. We have, over the past 14 years since we started in 1997, done 17 acquisitions, so we are acquisitive. Virtually all of those acquisitions have been in the bottom half of the cycle. We are pretty actively looking at various opportunities in that regard. That said, we don't want to put the company at risk, and we're also fairly selective in terms of the quality of assets that we're buying. So, our hope is that we'd be able to, add some quality assets at reasonable prices before market conditions turn up materially.
So what are some of those what are some of the other synergies that you look for in M&A, and will you consider some more M&A activity here coming up in the next year?
We've, in terms of the focus of our attention. It's primarily in our drilling and production rental business, simply because there's so many different competitors there, and frankly, a lot of smaller private groups are in considerable distress at this point. What we look for, Juan, we start with the quality of the asset base. You know, the smaller the company, the less focused we are on intangibles in terms of,
right.
You know, market presence, reputation, and that. It comes down to quality of the assets, because we do have a fairly significant market presence, and it's more just adding assets into our infrastructure. You know, as the enterprise becomes bigger, we do look at intangible considerations such as market position, you know, people, things like that. But, you know, as we get smaller, it comes down to the quality of the asset base.
Good answer. And now there's been a high demand for your Nomad product, Daniel. And can you talk about some of Total Energy Services' other products and where we may be able to find them?
Well, certainly the Nomad is a key product that we've introduced to the North American market here this past May. It's a product that we've applied for patent protection around the world, and it is a unique proprietary piece of technology. And in essence, what it is it brings portability to large horsepower compression, with the net effect of substantially reducing producers' compression costs because of the ability to right-size compression through the various stages of a natural gas well's life. We have seen significant interest in the product since we launched it in late May. We have moved a considerable amount of horsepower into the United States, for example. We would have close to 10,000 horsepower on rent in the Marcellus today. And basically, the target market there is any natural gas well that exhibits a relatively steep initial decline rate, followed by a fairly stable low level of decline in subsequent years. So our primary focus is introducing that and educating the North American market. We also have been doing some work internationally to roll that product out. In terms of other equipment that we have within our contract drilling business, which is our smallest, we're focused at this point exclusively on Western Canada. We have explored some international opportunities, but to date we've limited our activity to Canada. Our focus particularly is in the heavy double market, which tends to be the, 10 to 15,000 feet, 3 to 4,000 meter range. Which in Western Canada covers most of the active areas right now, the Bakken play in southeast Saskatchewan, which trends down into North Dakota, as well as the Montney natural gas shale play up in northwest Alberta into northeast British Columbia. One thing we're doing in that division, we have a rig with a major operator in northeast British Columbia that we've converted into we call it a bi-fuel rig, that it operates both on diesel and natural gas, as well as we are drilling under balance with natural gas. And we're the only rig probably in the world, if not North America, doing that. So we've done some innovative things there that ultimately help our customers bring the cost of drilling down, as they're able to use their own gas to not only power the rig, but displace nitrogen on the underbalanced part of the well. And our drilling production rental business, what we bring to the table there is simply scale and quality asset base. So we can significantly reduce our customers' costs through our numerous locations right across the Western Canadian Basin.
And so what makes your company unique from some of the other players in your sector? Is it, the diversity of the product line you offer?
We run each of our three businesses very separately.
Mm-hmm.
Our focus tends to be on putting our money into our equipment.
Yeah.
So I would say our asset base is first class. For example, within our drilling and production rental business, we maintain a very high quality heavy trucking fleet, probably the newest in Canada of any size. We're running 74 heavy trucks, a very uniform fleet, less than 3 years average age. And these are units that, you know, cost upwards of $700,000 per unit. So they're big, heavy cranes and other off-road trucks. They're not these highway trucks. So it's difficult for guys to get in that market, but we do maintain a very new, consistent, modern fleet. And we put a lot of money back into our equipment base. And I think generally that would distinguish us from many of our competitors.
Great. And so walk us through your background and experience, Daniel, as well as that of some of the key management team at TOT.
Sure. Well, my background, I've got a finance degree as well as a law degree, and I practiced corporate securities law for a number of years with a large Calgary firm before I started Total back in 1997. So I founded the company. The rest of our management team, our current our CFO, Mark Curl, is a CA as well as a chartered insolvency specialist. He joined one of our divisions about 4 or 5 years ago and was recently appointed about 2-3 years ago CFO of Total. So he's got a strong accounting background as well as an insolvency background. Our VP Operations, Brad Maxson, is a professional engineer, has north of 20 years experience, came from the E&P side, and brings a fairly unique perspective in terms of understanding our customers' operations. Our Vice President, Sales and Marketing, actually we just hired that position, a new person here, about a month and a half ago. Russ Drilchuk joined us, and he was previously the head of Exterran's Canadian operations. So he came from a sales background and worked his way up to running Exterran, which is the world's largest compression company, their entire Canadian operations. So he obviously brings some interesting experience and perspective to our business. So that would round out our corporate team. Each of our three divisions are run by senior personnel that actually came with the primary acquisition that got us into the business. So they've all been with Total for 10 years plus.
Great. And so what are some of the specific goals and milestones that Total hopes to accomplish over the course of the next 12 months?
Well, we're certainly been focused on return on capital, and that's the bottom line, why we're in business. You know, my mandate and the mandate of senior management is to ensure that we use capital efficiently. And in that regard, we're certainly proud of our track record. Our 10-year after-tax return on equity is in the 23% range. And, you know, I mentioned earlier we did 17 acquisitions since 1997. We've never written down any of our assets, including goodwill. So our balance sheet fully reflects the capital we've deployed. So with that in mind, our objective is to continue to reinvest our capital. We've done, I think, a fairly good job of growing this business with minimal outside equity. Since 2000, we've grown the business on less than $22 million of net new equity. So we're fairly efficient. We've used primarily cash flow. In the tougher part of the cycle, we tend to use our balance sheet, i.e. bank debt. So we did position our balance sheet quite well to capitalize on what's been a tough go here. And, you know, my objective would be to try and utilize our balance sheet over the next 12 months to add some quality assets here. Consolidate the industry. As well, specifically within the gas compression market, we've seen some fairly material changes in the Canadian marketplace here in the past year and a half. In January of 2008, a large competitor was taken out of the marketplace. They were purchased by a third party that redeployed their infrastructure to a non-competing business. So in essence, a competitor was removed from the marketplace. More recently, in the past month, Exterran has announced they're shutting down their Canadian fabrication, which is obviously removes another competitor. And just in the past few weeks, the two largest compression companies in Canada, one has made a hostile takeover bid for the other. You know, in the event that that transaction is consummated, we would find ourselves in number two position in the Canadian compression market from number five 2 years ago. So that's a top priority for us to capitalize on the opportunity to materially increase our share of the Canadian marketplace. As well, on the compression side, we did establish a presence in Australia in late 08, and we're now fully engaged in bidding on some Australian project work. We don't expect to see anything, bids awarded on that until mid-2010, so we'll update people as that unfolds, but we are active in that marketplace. As well, as I mentioned, we have moved into the Marcellus compression market, and we're continuing to examine opportunities to increase our presence in the United States.
Good answers. And so in terms of investors, Daniel, do you think right now that investors, that your company's investment story and upside potential are completely understood and appreciated by the financial community?
You know, we don't comment on stock price, but what I would invite people to look at is our track record. And, you know, we have, as I mentioned, a 10-year after-tax return on equity of 23%. Our balance sheet is rock solid. We have the capacity to do acquisitions for cash without dilution to our existing shareholder base.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think if you look at our track record on the growth of the company, we've done it in a fairly efficient manner on a capital basis. We have been active buyers, and we've been active buyers in what's turned in hindsight, with the benefit of hindsight, to be the right time to buy. And we've never written down any of our capital assets, including goodwill. So, you know, I would invite investors or potential investors to look at that. And, you know, I'm quite happy to let our numbers speak for themselves.
Certainly. And so once again, joining us today is Daniel Hajlik, President, CEO, and founder of Total Energy Services. The company trades on the Toronto Stock Exchange, and the ticker symbol is TOT, currently trading at $4.57 a share. Now, before we conclude, Daniel, what are some of the key reasons why investors should consider Total Energy Services as a good long-term investment opportunity?
Well, in 2006, the company did about $72 million of EBITDA, and since then we've added north of 30% to our property, plant, and equipment, and our share count is below where it was in 2006. So if, you know, I would defer to individual investors' view on where the oil and gas business is going, but in the event when the natural gas market particularly turns, Total represents a chance to take an asset base that's grown significantly from the last strong part of the cycle, with less shares outstanding than there were then. You know, it becomes a mathematical question. But, you know, I could comfortably say with an 06 environment on this asset base, we would do north of $100 million of EBITDA. And, you know, we have about a million less shares outstanding. So that's probably why, you know, I would think people would be interested in our company.
Well, great. Some very key points, and we certainly do look forward to continuing to track the company's growth and report on your future progress. And I'd like to thank you for taking the time to join us today and to update our investors.
Thank you for your interest, Juan.
Anytime.